on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
It's John Dean Cox again, this time he's in! At the second time of asking, Dean Cox takes Leighton Orient a step closer to Wembley.
Carroll. Jonathan Tahoe. Capable of anything, Tahoe! Equaliser for Leighton Orient!
We're not a city, we're not a town. We're the only one of us around, and you know where we can be found. When Saturday comes again, we'll be trying to do our best to cheer all those on who wear the vest. Whatever challenge, whatever test, we'll lay an Orient from E10. Lay an Orient from E10.
Well, a very good evening to you all, wherever you may be. Welcome along to another edition of the Orient Hour. I nearly said the Golden Years there. I'm on the wrong show. How are you, Christian Wheelers, back in the studio?
Evening. All good, thank you.
Good man. And to my right is Darren Burrows, back from Bristol.
Back from Bristol, and looking forward to the show, Andy.
And how's your ankle?
Saturday was a very good night that involved me falling down a hole in a pavement in Epping, and... It ain't good.
No, it's black and blue, isn't it?
It is, but I'll live, boy. I think.
And we are awaiting the arrival of Barry Galvin, who is stuck in traffic. Apparently there's been a bit of chaos on the roads, and he should be with us in about 10 minutes, he said. He said a rather panicked phone call through to me just before we went on air. And Barry's not really known for his great timekeping, is he?
No, he's not the best, is he?
Last minute Barry, he's always
wrong. But he's always good value when he does get it.
He does. He's worth what we pay him. Yep. Anyway.
I know how much that is.
Anyway, folks, a couple of matches to discuss tonight, amongst other things. And Wigan Athletic on the weekend, 1-1. And Christian, it's one of those games, wasn't it? It was one of those games where, once again, a lot of possession. If we'd had something in the final third, probably would have taken the points.
Yeah, I think we had a discussion, didn't we, whether it was a point gain or 2 points drop. I still can't really work it out myself, which one it was. But it was actually a good game of football. At times I felt it was two teams that were maybe playing for the sake of playing rather than being a little bit more dynamic. But after the first, should we say, 10 minutes, I think we was good value for, you know, the goal and being in front. It's just a shame, really, at the minute that we keep giving goals away at bad moments of the game. I think that's maybe a reflection. I think Richie touched on it last night in his interview. We are quite a young side. If you take out Prattley and take out a couple of others, you know, it's a young. You know, if we're playing a back three, a young back three. We've got youngsters in midfield. So it's just one of them things we've got to try and learn and. Maybe kill games off. Shaq Ford scored a lovely goal. It's just a shame that he just didn't take that second chance and maybe kill the game off. I think if he'd opened his body up a little bit, wrapped it with his right foot and put it in the other corner, I think we could have got away with winning that game. But they weren't a bad side. Wigan, I was quite impressed. They're free up front, and the boy that dropped in the hole in midfield were very, very good players.
Yeah, I mean, Darren, Christian said, young side, but we got people like Dan Happy with seasons and seasons under their belt now, you know, at the back.
Well, I think that's what the manager, Richie, was alluding to when he said he's got to step up now. Because you get to that age, don't you? He's, what, 24, Dan?
Yeah.
And you've got to be consistent. Yeah. If your career is going to take you in the direction, the travel you want to go in, then that's what you've got to cut out. You've got to cut that mistake out. And I used to sort of call him, you know, a mistake a game player. So I think that's where we were going with that. I thought Wigan were good as well. I thought they were good. They had the worst song ever, their fans sing. I don't know what it was, but it was rubbish. So, and we used to call them the Pie Eaters back in the day. So hopefully the pies got eaten in the away end.
That's a good point about Hat, though, because I think the same for Cooper. I know people have wax lyrical a little bit for Cooper, and I know he's had some good games, but I think in our WhatsApp group I kind of was not sure early on, and Saturday kind of confirmed that for me. I just think he's a boy that's never really settled, gone out on a lot of loans, and really the goal was his fault, and that kind of sums up his performances at the minute. The ball's come a long way, he could have headed it, he's let it drop. He then could have just played the way he's facing, passed it back to the keeper or hooked it out. He didn't. He tried to be clever. Boys nicked it off him. He's then going nowhere and he crashes into him, gives a free kick away and they score.
The only thing I'd say to you, like, Christian, is that for me was his only bad game.
What was that, Cooper?
Yeah, I think every game up until then, he'd done actually... I mean, he got a couple of man of the match performances, bear in mind.
Well, I saw him against Lincoln, and he did a Teddy Medzaga. He was letting the ball bounce in the box.
Yeah, I wasn't saying
lucky
that.
To get away with that one. I mean, that's
Teddy Medzaga, that's a good
one. What it reminded me of. When you don't get a defender let the ball bounce in front of them, you know. I mean, when it's coming
down. I get that, but I just think he was a bit unlucky not to be playing last night, in my humble opinion. He went returns, didn't he, instead?
Yeah, I was surprised by that. I actually thought he'd play Cooper and Hat. I thought he was always going to go back to a flat back four, because it may be the, you know, performances, maybe the crowd, you know, he's touched on it a little bit, that the crowd have got on his back a little bit, to go back to a four. And I just thought, given the balance of a right foot, left foot, and the two experienced lads, you know, really, Turns has probably not even had a full season in men's football yet, and you know, Cooper and Happer are probably a little bit ahead of him.
On the back flat, can't say it.
Flat back.
Yeah, that's the one. I'm glad you can. The only way we could get Archibald up further up the pitch 100%. Was to go back to that, and we had to do that.
Yeah.
So really, I think that system picked itself.
Yeah.
It was a fait accompli from Richie's perspective, that to go back to that. And also, with James and Hunt, you've got two players who can play that style. We were talking about the Sweeney, perhaps can't, of that wing-back. Yeah. So I like that formation, but then probably that's just showing me a 4-4-2 kind of... Well, it was 4-3-3, wasn't it?
4-3-3. I think that's his preferred... should we say, formation. The thing glaring for me on Saturday was that Theo's just really, really wasted as a fullback, because if we're playing well, we're on the front foot and we're flying, then he's further up the pitch. At the minute, and especially against Wigan, he spent more of his time in our own half, and it's just a waste in my opinion.
No, I agree with that, but we went to that system because of the personnel we had available, 100%. And we did get results playing 100%. It. So I'm not completely against it, because I've watched some winning performances, and I also like the fact that now Richie has got a couple of formations that he's comfortable with playing, and hopefully the players, more importantly, I should say, than Richie are comfortable with playing it.
I think in a minute as well, we are dictated to a little bit by injuries and availability.
Always.
Right? We have had a bad run of injuries. I think you know, the next big thing for me on Saturday is, one, I think it was a great reception that he got from the fans. You could see the excitement of as you're coming on. Mm. And two, he just looked bright as a button. It'll just give us something that be able to run in behind. And for someone that's not played for months, he got two balls across his body and his first thought was just to shoot. Yeah. There was no, shall I set someone? Shall I pop it off? Shall I recycle it wide? It literally came across his body and he shot, which for me is what we lack, really. Like, even going back to the Theo, you think how many good crosses he put in on Saturday, and we've just got three people that just stand and watch, and that to me is a big waste when you've got someone like that.
The big stat, isn't it, that's been talked about since last night is the OG, being our third. That's our second, is it? Our second highest? Yeah. Joint second, I think it's joint second highest.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is, there's a little face tapping at our window outside the studio there. It's a very sullen little face, and shall we let him in? It's Barry Galvin. There we go. He's just turned up.
Not actually, Brown's header was decent. Brown's header, the ball in was decent, header was decent, but yeah, that is a bit of a laughable stat.
So, good evening, Barry, and he's just just getting in. He's not too happy looking, but you got here, mate. You got here in the end. That's the main thing.
You never are. You got one of them faces, didn't you? Yeah, well, felt all problems, you know, traffic and all that.
Yeah, I know. I said that. You rang in and said there's an accident somewhere, and you managed to get here. That's the main thing. And welcome along. And I put some chocolates in front of you so you can have a munch while you're...
I'm an athlete, thank you.
It's told me, hasn't it? There you go. Now, back to the football. And on Saturday, concentration is the key word here, because from the off, Darren, you know, they conceded a penalty.
Yeah, do you know what? As soon as we conceded that, my mind went straight to that one we conceded against Mansfield last season in the first minute. And I think the taker is under so much pressure, more so than any other time than the 89th minute. So, well, I had it in my mind. I thought, well, they missed the last one we had in the first minute, and he hit the post, and the rest, as I say.
Barry?
Yeah, he was their best player as well, wasn't he?
He was.
When he went off, that
he was.
He was really good. Scored a great goal. But yeah, I mean, you know, I was surprised to see him miss. But I don't know, like you, though, I don't know why. I had the feeling this might not go in.
It was too early in the game,
because
maybe.
It's so early, maybe, that you think, well, it's still, like, you know, still fresh and nerves, etc. Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Now, also, I mean, the other talking point, Christian, was the referee's decision to give offside, and it caused a lot of confusion. We'll be coming to that in a little while with Matt Roper, who, for whatever anyone else thinks he is a qualified referee, so we'll be getting an explanation of that. But, I mean, what was your view of the situation when you saw it?
I'm not going to lie, I was bashing him throughout the game. So was my son. My son was calling him Homer Simpson, actually, because of his hair. But, to be fair, I thought the first one was a pen. There was plenty of people around me that thought it wasn't. I thought he just got there too late. It was one of them where if he'd have gone on his first instinct, he probably would have got there. But he kind of, if you watch it back, he kind of takes a step, hesitates, and then realises he's got to go and he doesn't get there. But... yeah, I did have a laugh about the offside in the own half one. That was, I just think at the minute we are giving away a lot of cheap city fouls. Like, as I said, I've already touched on it, the goal. And I just think that comes down to a little bit that we're out of form, a little bit that people have got a bit nervous and a bit edgy. You know, we're on a bit of a bad run of results.
Yeah.
And we have, you know, as I say, we say Hap and... you know, Piggott, we've got some people now that have played games, but ultimately we are quite a young side, and sometimes I think we lack a little bit of experience. Like, even Rob Hunt's played a lot of games. Rob James, they don't look like, and this is not a detriment to them, but they don't look like a leader, say that Darren Prattley would be a leader, that, you know, shouting and screaming, or Beckles getting people in position. I just think... yeah, we're just getting caught out a little bit with a bit of naivety in a minute.
In that position, Barry, where they're looking over their shoulder now instead of looking up, really.
Yeah, it's really tight in the middle, isn't it? I mean, we haven't... it depends why you look at stats, isn't it? We've drawn a lot. We haven't won in quite a while, but I don't know if you've touched on this so far, but I don't think we're playing that badly. I think in the middle we're looking good. We're not even making... we are making mistakes, but it's just we are... not quite having that final pass. What I was disappointed, but I'm sure we'll go into last night. Mm. But what is our lack of attempts on goal? I think that's what we're lacking at the moment.
100% agree.
The approach play is good. Yeah. We're getting ourselves in good positions. I mean, you know, it's just our
final third again.
Our lack of attempts on goal, because if you're not shooting, you're not scoring. Generally, I mean, I know we did last night around goal, but yeah, I think that's the disappointment from my point of view at the moment. I don't see us being dragged into, although you never know. Dragged into a relegation scrap, but on the other hand, we're not going to progress up the league or even towards the middle unless we start, you know, making more attempts on goal.
Yeah, I think in all seriousness, I don't know what you think at this relatively early stage of the season, I suppose, still. I think there'll be four sides worse than Leighton Orient. I don't think...
You'd like to think so.
I don't think...
but we're 18 games in now, Andy. Yeah. And those four sides that I picked that would be worse than us, two of them won last night. So I don't completely share Barry's view on this. I mean, maybe that's perhaps my personality, a little bit pessimistic. I think we are going to be in a bit of a relegation fight, unfortunately. Because the forwards, unless we can get a forward in January, then I think we are.
Well, Barry, I mean, you learned how to say it properly. Agile, is it?
It's agile.
Agile.
And I've asked him.
Okay.
And so if you think agile, that's agile. The way I've got it in my head.
So you've got agile. My worry about him is that he's going to get nobbled. Somebody, I mean, you've got your position. You know he's just come back from a long, long knock. I mean, that's the nature of the beast, isn't it? Like, might give him a thump, will you, as early as you can in the match?
I think the team needs a couple, and the lads that have got only got the shirt certainly serve. And right now, Drinnen's out injured again. Yeah, so forget Drinnen. He's done his hamstring. We don't know how long it'll be. Hopefully, it's not a lot.
I mean, but not being rude, but I mean, we're not going to miss the goals, are we?
He's now on head. And then Piggott's not scored enough. Yeah, and Rule is the only one with a decent record this season. Mm. So no, I think we need to get as well as I agree with your point that Adji hopefully will provide some of those goals.
Yeah, but he needs protecting, especially in these early days when he's just coming back in. He needs some protection because you know what players are like. I mean, you'd be the opposition. What would you be saying to your players? Give them a thump.
Yeah, but I think they're gonna. I think it'll be slowly with him for a bit. Yeah. I think it will be last half hour and build it up a bit, purely simply because we haven't got the best injury record right now. We are in that position where we're a bit like, say, a broken record, really. I think he's crying out, like, my friends come and watch Orient, or I speak to people about Orient. For me, if I always think we've played really good sides, right? Wigan, we played Oxford recently. But, and I don't think there's been any difference really in the middle.
I agree with that, Christian.
I just think it's both boxes where we lack at times. Defensively, we're naive and we create a lot of chances, but we never put the game to bed. So we will always be, I agree with you, Andy, that we're always going to be a little bit looking over our shoulder rather than.
That's my point. Because we're not taking the chances, because we're not putting the teams to bed.
I'm just what you said there. I mean, I like Dan Habbey as a player. I think he's a player who's still got more promise than he's...
100%. I like him. I've always...
We shouldn't be saying what we're saying. What you just said, we are naive at the back. Now, Dan's played enough football matches not to be naive at the back, and I guess Richie's taken a bit of a vent on him.
Andy, I look at it slightly different, right? Everyone makes mistakes. Yeah, we know that. Yeah, that's a human trait. Mm. Yeah. The best football players in that position as a centre-half make the least... That's my point. Yeah. You've got to cut the mistakes down from one a game to one every two games, and then get it to three, then to four. And you get to that point where you are consistently reliable, and yes, you will make the odd mistake. Of course you will, concentration levels. That's where Dan needs to go with his game. Now, last night, they could have had a couple more.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're coming last night in a little bit, but what we're saying with Dan is he's got to assume almost a vice-captain role, if you like, in that back line. He's got to be in charge of that because he's the most experienced player there.
Listen, I'm always sat on the fence about Omar Beckles, but I think given that Turns is probably... He's not even played 40 games yet. When did we get him? January, so he's not had a full season. Hat is still a young boy. All right, he's made plenty of... appearances, but what is he, 23? We said, yeah. Cooper's never settled anywhere and been out on loan. I think we miss, personally, and it's not like me to say this, but I think we miss Omar Beckles purely and simply because he's a leader. You need someone in the middle of that back three screaming and shouting them, getting them in position. If you have to head a volley. The difference is, as well, is Turns has come through a tier one top academy where they try and play football. Dan Haps would class himself as a footballing centre-half. Cooper would class himself as a footballing centre-half, and that's how he got caught out on Saturday. I think sometimes, to Darren's point, head of volley, minimal mistakes is probably the area that we're in at the minute, and that's why at times I think we have gone this season a little bit more direct than other
seasons. There is one other player as well, guys. Thompson. Now, you know what? He's played a lot of games at that level. Yeah, and he's got a lot to prove. He's out of contract, in the summer.
I like him, but he's made of glass. That'd be my only...
If we can get him fit and playing, say, 12, 15 games, Christian, it might be the difference between us not being sucked into it.
I think some of it's got to do with the formation that obviously we've been in and out with at the moment, and we need a settled back line. If we do settle on 4-3-3, and obviously there'll be times we have to play to the opposition and play five at the back, etc. But I think if we get that settled 4-3-3, and it starts to, then you need a settled back line. Now, whether that be Beckles and Happy, or whether that be Ed Turns and Happy, or Beckles.
But Barry, does anyone get that? Does any team get that? Does any club get that?
I don't know.
I'm not convinced they do anymore, because the way the pace of the game is now, there's always half your squad, 4-year squad, 6-year squad, 8-year squad, not just Orion, injured. Everywhere.
True, but I know from playing, when I played, is that if you've got a settled back five, it doesn't make
yeah,
difference.
I'm not just going to settle.
You know
settled.
Each other's games, and you know what you want. You know, it's obviously got a good players, but you know that unit. Look at the archetypal Arsenal one from the 2000s, like, you know, or the 90s. It's just such a solid unit. I think there's lots to be said for it.
Hmm. Can I ask you, I don't know the answer to this, but have we got, is Cooper's is up in January, right?
Yes.
And Turns, what have we got for the whole season?
They'll probably have a recall, but I think it was a season long from memory.
Even that, Thompson might need to step in if Cooper goes back. Cooper could even go back. If we've got Beckles injured, Cooper to go back, then we're going to need a centre-half as well.
But then also you've got the January transfer window, so you've got the chance to get one in. So.
Right, before we hear from Matt Roper, we touched on the offside on Saturday. Barry, what was going through your mind?
We've seen it a couple of times recently, and the first time I saw it, I thought, what's he talking about? He's in his own half, obviously. But then someone told me on a gantry that you can be offside in your own half. It's a technicality, though, and I don't see the point of doing it. I really don't. It just annoys the fans. You might as well just put it in, you know, five. Maybe they've got to do it, I don't know. But apparently there is a rule. Well, you can be offside. It's something to do with phases of play, which is pretty boring.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll have this week's Roper's Rant, and hopefully during it all, Matt will reveal all, and you'll all be a lot the wiser.
Good evening, and welcome to the Orient Unhappy Hour. Yep, and 1-1 at home to Wigan. Did you know that ex-owner Dave Whelan once broke his leg for them playing in the Cup? And a replica scoreline down in the West Country, and social media lit up again like the Oxford Street lights. But with 40-watt bulbs, and half of those on the blink. Before I go on, I've been asked by the show to clear up some confusion about the offside law, me being a fat and overweight spectacled whistleblower myself. In the last two home games, we have seen O's players being caught offside twice, where the resulting free kick was taken in our own half. You can't do that, screamed much of the 21,784 crowd. But in fact, you can. The law on offside changes almost as regularly as George Moncur changed his pants last season. And a couple of seasons back, it was decreed that when the law changed, with the law change on being offside being that when you receive the ball or are actively part of an attack, etc., etc., that you could therefore be given offside in your own half by coming back from an offside position and, say, touching the ball or challenging an opponent. Don't get me wrong, the law can be a bit contradictory and confusing here, because of course the law still stands that you can't be offside in your own half. But the latter law change effectively means that you are starting in an offside position in your opponent's half, but the offside then occurs in your own half, and thus the free kick can be given over the halfway line. There you go, as clear as an O's pitch in the mid-1970s. Right, back to the autumnal doom and gloom. Over the past couple of weeks, I've reminded listeners that I'm not a happy clappy and that I rather choose to go with the definition of glass half full. Now, don't get me wrong, after no wins in seven, I've had a few more sips out of that glass, and if we were to exit the cup on Sunday, then it's time to get another round in. But the hyperbole on social media does frustrate me a bit. Last night's game against Bristol Rovers wasn't exactly a classic, I'm told. I cannot comment too much, because I didn't see it, and was busy coaching my under 16 girls team and sending people off in five-a-side. But surely most points gained on the road are just that, points gained, no matter how good or bad the performance. Think back, older O's fans, to the mid-90s, when you had to wait 2 years for a victory, and a draw on the road was like winning the lottery. Yes, we appear somewhat slow, somewhat lethargic at the moment, and yes, maybe you can even go so far to say there's not much to write home about. The top of the park is an ongoing concern. Team selection and formation can seem a little baffling at times. But whilst we haven't won in seven, we've only been beaten in two, and then by the odd goal in five to a top two side. And we all knew how Lincoln was going to pan out when the lovely chaps at EFL headquarters stitched us up yet again. Not winning becomes a habit. But then surely the flip side of that and the genuine reality is that not losing becomes a habit. Perhaps the real stat to look at here would be how footballers changed with 3 points for a win when it was introduced back in the early 80s. You could draw six in a row and remain undefeated for several weeks, but if you win three and lose three, you'll actually have three more points on the board. Look at it this way. In this league, you likely need around about 75 points for a playoff berth. If you win 23 and lose 23, you'd actually be only two victories away from a magical sixth spot. Yeah, losing 21 games and you could still hit the playoffs. Once again, injuries seem to be hampering team selection and formation. That is no one's fault. Let's not go there with the, oh, it must be a problem with our medical and rehabilitation teams. And let's not go there with the fact that if someone doesn't start, it must have been a massive bust-up in the changing room. Sometimes injuries could just be bad luck. And sometimes, because we don't see things from behind the scenes, a player could be out because of an attitude problem. That's the manager's call and no one else. Last season, we rarely suffered injury problems, and most teams that are successful do it first and foremost because a manager can pick a consistent, decent 11. It's not an excuse, though. Football's a team sport, and it's no good having an electric first 11 if players number 12 to 25 are just nowhere near good enough to fill those shoes when players are in the treatment room. On to budget, and this one has really irked me. Over the last week or so, I've seen several comments bemoaning that we have, as the board and manager have put it, already spent some or much of our January budget. The same old faces and a few new ones have jumped on the bandwagon that why on earth have we spent? Why on earth have we spent at the start of the season and oh my God, we're doomed for a relegation dogfight because the cupboard is bare? These are the same supporters that would have moaned like mad at the start of the campaign if we didn't fetch in players such as Graham to cover the injury situation we found ourselves in after several friendlies. Yes, I'd love the ball to okay another $500,000 for Richie, but we've got to live with a little bit of reality. No matter how many donuts Nigel sells, his bank account isn't a bottomless pit of dollars, and we have to be sensible with budget. Especially when you remember the last one that was here that flashed the cash. How did that end up? Just remind me. Wheeling and dealing in January is going to be crucial. Up top is likely a primary focus, but an out-and-out goal scorer is hard to find at the best of times, let alone in January. And as such, we'll all be placing heavy pressure on the shoulders of Dan Agge, a return which has given everyone a little lift. Wellens alluded to the cup game last night. We all know and understand what a win and a handsome away tie to, say, West Ham or Manchester United would do for the board's finances. There can be no doubt that if the Arsenal game in 2011 bagged us close to 750k, then a trip to Old Trafford would likely swell the coffers by a million plus for just 90 minutes of football. And then you could argue, with goodwill, that a ball could then release, let's say, even a third of that and bolster Wellens' war chest by 350,000 or more, while still lowering our losses by well over $500,000. It's a win-win. But, of course, the two big stumbling blocks here are getting a win on Sunday and having our ball magically pulled out of the rotunda by Dion Dublin or Lee Dixon at the right time. But for now, I'm going to have the sip. I'm going to sip on the final bit of my glass quarter full and rant elsewhere about the ludicrous changes being discussed by IFAB, the lawmakers, about using VAR for fouls and corner kicks. Don't even get me started on that one, or I'll do a whole show of my own. Up the mighty O's.
Oh, thank you very much, Matt. Well, it wasn't a bad one, was it? I hope your understanding of the offside rule, offside law, should I say, is enhanced by that. And not often you can say you learnt something from Matt Roper, is it?
No, credit Matt, because I thought he explained it really well. Yeah. And when I listened to it earlier, because being a professional that I am, obviously I've come prepared, Andy.
Yeah, well done.
And I had nothing better to do.
Failure to prepare is preparing to fail. That's
absolutely. That.
Yeah, yeah.
And it makes sense to me now, to be fair to Matt. Yeah. No, in all seriousness, it makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. And it does make sense now. But they keep changing the blooming laws. It must be hard. I mean, the players alone, you learn a law and then they change it again. It causes indecision and it causes confusion. And
do you know what'd be really good? At the start of every season, if the clubs actually alerted us to this and actually put something out, because we're all trying to follow the game, and to a certain extent we're all, I wouldn't say mug punters, but we're all we don't have the time. We've got busy lives so we need to be brought up to speed as customers.
Well, before we move on to last night's affair, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about sin bins. And as once again with law change, it's a few shakes of the head, but actually it's something I always thought was quite a good idea. And I thought, well, instant punishment, you know, you can go from being 1-0 up to 2-1 down in that 10 minutes or whatever the player's sent to the sin bin for. I know Barry's shaking his head and Christian's shaking his head.
And there's enough. The one thing that bugs me about the game is time wasting, yeah? You're just going to encourage more time wasting. Anything goes to sin bin, it's, oh, well, I fell over on me laces, on me twisted sock, and, you know, my mate's got to take the throw in, and, oh, yeah, it's just, nah. Nah, time wasting. It just encourages more time wasting. You're in sin bin for 5 minutes, you've got 10 men, 5 minutes, that's it.
Well, what if you get put on the sin bin for time wasting?
Yeah, but
then
the time
wasting.
Time
wasting, and it, you know, I just think it's a bad idea.
The time wasting surely is being taken care of now, because the amount of time added on, we're almost at another match at the moment.
Yeah, if they do the thing which they never will, where they stop the clock, right? Yeah, then yeah, sin bin, great, because it's a real punishment, because it's time on the pitch you're missing. But until then, until they stop the clock when the ball's out or the ball's dead, then no, not for me.
I mean, yeah, there are accusations. I think you may have said, you know, Chris, that they were Americanizing it a little bit too much. Sorry to the American fans and listeners, but you know, the thing is with the American football, of course, the ball's in play when the clock's running, the clock stops. So it is a 60-minute situation. Is that something that perhaps, I know you're against some of the things, is that something that you think should be happening? Ball in play, stop clock.
No, I just think, stop meddling with stuff. Like, I saw an article today or yesterday that Hal Webb is fast-tracking, I think it's 18 former professional footballers to be refs, something that I've said for years. I'm not digging out refs, but there's nothing wrong with a beautiful game. There's nothing wrong with the rules. They just need to be governed better. It's the same with VAR, right? I just think you're bringing in all these gimmicks to try and find the answers to problems that wouldn't be there if they'd done their job better. Like, I'm going to sound old, but I can remember playing in the Southern League that year that they brought in kick-ins instead of throw-ons, because they wanted to play and make the game quick. It didn't. All you got is just a team full of 6'8" giants. Any throw-on was just spotted down, launched in the box, and this that'll be like
percentage football.
Like what Barry said, and you know, when we spoke about it in WhatsApp group, I watch a lot of non-league games. I normally get out on a Monday and Wednesday. And when I've watched leagues with the sin bin rule, is that the team that's down to 10 men for 10 minutes just drop to the edge of their box, punt it, and to Barry's point, just waste as much time as they can until they can get their mate back on, and then the game go back to normal.
Boring.
I just think, if you're going to go like that, why don't start with, if you're going to go rugby, why don't you just start where you just got to get rid of the dissent in football, and you got to get better refs, because I just think that's the problem. Like, you've brought VAR in, but you've got no one that can seem to manage VAR.
Well, they're still making mistakes doing it, aren't they?
Well, I watched, as I say, I come home last night from my boys' training and I watched Newcastle. Like, Darren made a great point on our WhatsApp chat about when we talk about sin bins, about you go all the way to Plymouth, someone gets sent off in the first minute wrongly, it might eradicate that. But, you know, flip side is we bought VAR to get rid of that, and now, you know, you've got all them Geordies that have gone out to Paris and they've conceded a penalty in the 96th minute, never been a penalty. Because it literally, the rules is now, if it hits your hand regardless, it's a penalty. You just got to govern the game better rather than all these silly gimmicks, in my eyes.
I mean, my view, Darren, was that, and I've said it before, I think, on this show, the only thing we needed was the goal line technology to ensure that the ball was over the line.
It's interesting, because I was a big sin bin fan, and I've watched a bit of non-league football as well, and I watched a game where I watched the same player get sin bin three times, and it was team local to you, Clacton.
All right.
And they were playing Ilford.
All right.
And Romford or Ilford, but it was a great game, and the same player, yeah, got... But I perhaps, you know, bow to Christian, thank you, knowledge on this, because I didn't really sort of take the point till we said that about they'll just then waste time till both Barry mate and Christian. So definitely goal line technology, yeah, 100% with that.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, last night, let's move along. Last night's event, of course, away at Bristol Rovers. 1-1 draw, as Barry touched on earlier, an own goal, a late own goal, salvaging a point for Leighton Orient. Before we discuss it, let's hear what Richie had to say to Dave Victor.
Richie, thanks for joining us. That was a point gained, wasn't it?
No, 2 points lost. Was you watching the same game as me?
Go on.
I thought we was totally dominant. I thought we were brilliant. Yes, we do need to create more chances, and players need to produce more pieces of skill, more cleverness in the final third. But apart from in the first half, they had a breakaway and a free kick, and which you score on, it's poor from our part. The setup is poor, and then we shouldn't be having letting good players have a strike from the edge of the box. But in not really any danger. We had a good chance early within the first minute where Shaq went through, but his touch wasn't quite at it. And then second half, it was just like, you know, I'm watching from the sideline, I never remember looking right. It was always to the left, it was always in their half. We're asking questions, our football was smooth at times, our system really suited us. But we just need to make more clever runs, unselfish runs for other people to pick up space. And then apart from when we went to 1-1 and Brownie does the back header and Marquez goes through and then the corner, then didn't feel under any threat in terms of the whole game. But I think when you equalise in the 90th minute, it's a point gained, and I understand your question, but the performance was as such that we deserve 3.
I made it 10 corners. Are you sort of concerned that they're not creating clear-cut chances from those set pieces?
Yeah, we played quite a few short today, and obviously with Pigs not starting and with Brandon Cooper not starting and Pratt's not starting, then our size is diminished a little bit, so I understand that. We had a few... Dan, you back okay?
Yeah.
I was worried then, I was holding it. We had a couple where it fell to us on the edge of the box, and then obviously we scored from one set play. So... And listen, we need to be better from set plays, but two most important things with set plays is the delivery. So we can't control the delivery. That's up to the players to practice their technique and put it in the right areas, and then the intensity of people's runs. You wonder why West Ham score so many set plays is because Ward-Prowse practices, and he puts it on the money, and you've got some big lads who are really determined to run his spaces. So we're a young group, and we need to be more aggressive at set plays, but we'll get there.
You're just checking on the fitness of Dan Ajay. He looked very sharp when he came on.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I love Dan to bits. I think since he's come at a club, he picked up a bad injury, but his smile, his infectiousness is for everybody to see around the place. So can't wait to work with him. I think he gives us a threat that if people go tight, he can produce a bit of skill to get the other side of people. I thought Shaq was okay, but obviously Saturday, Tuesday for him, he's a bit of an ask at the moment. I thought Theo was good. So the only problem, again, things went against us today with Tom James and Driss coming off injured. We then had to be careful because we only had one other opportunity to make a sub, and Theo was just holding his back. So we just need more attackers, one for competition, one to carry on what we was doing. We had that last year when three players are starting and then you sub three on and they continue to do what they want. But I thought our setup was good. I thought tactically we were very, very good. And you're coming up against them in the final third are really good. They're clever. They reverse passes. They chop people. And I think they've got some good players here. It's a good club. They're well supported. Having some good banter behind the dugouts. It was slagging my jeans off. I don't think they're that bad. Yeah. A bit of good banter with them, good club, good point in the end, but I think we should be coming away with 3.
How significant are those first half injuries?
TJ was a dead leg, wasn't going to start this morning, but we decided to take a risk because you know with a dead leg you're not going to make it any worse. It's just the chance that it might seize up if he takes another knock on it. Drinan's looks like a hamstring injury, so that's not great.
Is there sickness in the club? Is there a reason?
Monks has got... So Monks, he's ill. Galbraith pulled out yesterday. He's been struggling with a back spasm for a bit. Who else is there? And they're the two that came out of the squad from Saturday. So, yeah, we've just... And I've been desperate to get back to a 4 for a long, long time. I see the pictures clearer. I know exactly what I want from my team, but we've just not had the personnel. I mean, a fan We played a game the other week and a fan is saying to me, Rich, go back to a four. Put wingers on. John Graham's injured, Theo's injured. We've literally not got one fit winger at the club. I'm always loath to put Ruel out there at the moment because they go for it through the middle. But I see a developing team, and I understand we've not won enough games in the last five or six, but I see a developing team that once we do start to impact the goal more, that there's not a lot. We don't concede many chances. I see a lot of positives. So we keep going, we keep improving. Fans were good tonight, long way on a Tuesday night. So a lot of positives. I'm glad we deserved at least a point from that game, Jesus.
And we move to the Cup now on Sunday. Chesterfield riding high in the National League. Were those players that are ill or injured, will they be in contention?
Monks potentially will be okay. I think TJ and Dan Hatt was struggling with a dead leg, but he got through. I thought Dan was excellent. I thought he had so many good performances tonight. TJ should be okay. And we just have to wait to see what Keats can do with Galbraith, because back spasms can be quick, but they can linger on a little bit. And obviously Drinham will be out.
And how important is the Cup this season for the O's?
Well, listen, I mean, I don't think I've ever had a good Cup run, because I've always been either gone into a club where they're already out of the Cups, or then my remit at Swindon was to try and get in the top seven. So I wanted out the Cups as soon as possible. My remit last year was to get in the top seven. I wanted to get out the Cups as soon as possible, because it can be great having a Cup run. No one remembers when you get to the fourth round and you get Stoke away. No one remembers that. We give people lifetime memories last year, which I hope will stay for them for a long, long time. But this year it's a little bit different. Financially, it was helped. We need a couple of players in. We're short on bodies, and if you give me the tools, then I'll produce the results. But we need to produce the results to bring some finances in. So hopefully, it can help us in January.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Dave, and thank you, Richie, there. And Dave didn't get many words in there, did he, really? I mean, Richie was going for it at times. What did you make of that, Dal?
What did I make of that? So, first of all, I noticed the way that Richie sort of mellowed towards it being 2 points dropped, eventually admitting it was a point gained. I thought that was quite interesting. I think it's difficult when you stick a mic in anyone's face like that straight after a game. And it's generally, in fairness to the managers, it's about 20 minutes after the game that they're interviewed. So I always come a little bit of slack for that, if I'm honest, because I know how I can react in the heat of the moment. And then you'll come on, I know, to the bit where you're championing a bit to talk about, which was, is he putting the ball under pressure with those comments?
I think he's pushing it. Yeah, I think he's pushing his luck a little bit myself.
Well, but then you want that from your management?
Listen, I understand his position, but he's got the players that, for all intents and purposes, he's been given the players that he's asked for or wanted. I'll take it. I mean, I'm not sure that's
his point. His point is that he now needs more. Give me the tool. I think that's his point.
In one side, every manager wants more, right?
Yeah,
every manager wants that better player. He wants that. Give me another 500 grand. Give me another million. You know, and I can do this. I can do that. Every manager does that a bit. But I think there is a line where you, and as you just touched on, you're interviewing somebody in the heat at the moment, if you like, just after when emotions are quite high still. But I think Richie's got to watch how much dirty laundry he does in public. I think that's the sort of thing you discuss with the board at a board meeting and with Martin.
Andy, they're all big boys.
I know that, but I don't think
they can all deal with a little bit of, how can we put it, ballroom's take on a serious tone.
Yeah.
But they have to take on a serious tone.
I mean, what I'm saying is you don't switch the pressure from yourself to the board, which is what I feel. I don't know what your take on this is, Christian, but I think that's how it came across. And whether he intended that to be the case, that's how it's good for him as a fan, that's what I want from him. That's okay. It's about opinions here, but I feel he might be pushing it a little bit too much, Chris. What do you think?
I think we're all massive Richie Wenham fans in this room.
We are, but...
But I would say probably it's the first time in his tenure at Orient that he's probably feeling a little bit of pressure. The crowd, there's there's whispers of, you know, he said in the interview, you know, he's got a bloke behind the dugout telling him what formation to make. I would say that recently, what's that? Yeah, of course, but you know, he's had a pretty an easy ride. I love Richie Wellens, but do I, of late, have I questioned his selection? Yeah. Have I questioned his formation? Yeah. The one thing that I would pick up on recently with Richie Wellens is we've got a very young team. We've touched on that a lot tonight. And we're inexperienced in certain areas at the moment, right? He asks a lot in his interview for composure, whereas to me, Richie is showing less composure on the touchline than he's ever shown. And teams are a mirror of their manager. So if a manager's acting erratic, and he said himself in an interview the other day, he needs more from himself, I think our team will be a little bit more erratic. Did I think he pushed that a little bit? Yeah, I did. But to Darren's point, that does happen, right? And people always want more. And yes, we've probably been a little bit unlucky for injuries. I do think there'll be people go out in January. If I was in Richie Wellens' shoes, I would get people out in January. I would try and offload Moncur on loan. I'll try and offload a couple more on loan that are spending money, because we do need some reinforcements. And probably, taking half of your point and half of Darren's point, I don't know how much money you'll get in January, or whether they'll say to him, you've had your dough, you need to try and find some from within what you've got, because we are lacking probably a little bit of experience down the middle of the team. Mm-hmm. And we are missing an out and out goal scorer. Whether Aggie comes in or Aggie comes in and tears it up, we're still one short, I think, up
so
top.
The problem, Bauer, is that, as Christian just said, you know, favourite to be farmed out maybe Moncur, but he's on, you know, sizeable wages. Now, even if Orient end up paying 50%, let's say, of his wage to get him out of the building, that's not going to give him that much of a budget wage-wise to bring somebody in, is it?
No, but I mean, that's football, isn't it? You know, generally transfer windows, it happens to many teams, I'm sure. I don't know what's in his mind. You know, like Christian said, we're all fans here, Richie Wellens fans in particular. And I like a manager who wears his heart on his sleeve, I'll be honest with you. I don't know what the politics are behind the scenes, and I wouldn't want to guess it. But, I think that's just football. And I think our expectations, as we know, is, well, from the club, is between 8th and 16th, is to be in that mid-8. We're towards the bottom end of that at the moment. We are still in our expectations, if you like. December's quite important. Come January, if we are in the bottom four, that may trigger a certain, you know, a different attitude from. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, have they got a preset? Whereas if we're comfortable, then the budget is X, and if we're not, then the budget is Y. I don't know that. I'm just imagining
it's
that
a good
might
point.
Change things.
It's a valid point, because if the situation is, Barry, that the team is sort of like, they're going to finish about, you know, 8 off bottom, they're not going to get relegated, but they're no way going to make the playoffs, how much do you spend now then? Because you don't want to waste money that you'll be using in the summer to build a stronger squad.
Look, it's well documented, yeah, that the money to sign Jordan Graham come out of the January budget. So we know that. The club have been open about that, yeah? So it will come down to this. I agree with you. It will come down to the facts. I totally agree. I think that's completely correct. If we need to spend the money, I agree. I think they will. Because the board have always done that when they needed to. So I think from Richie's point of view, it's a little bit of be careful what you wish for, because we could be spending the money because we have to, as opposed to we want to.
Can I, Darren, you run companies, I run sales teams, and just looking, I'm a big believer in body language, playing devil's advocate. For the first time ever, do you think Richie Wellens is happy? Do you think he's got that nagging thought where, I won the league last year, I'm probably, my stock's pretty high at the minute, if I don't get what I want, or we keep suffering these injuries, or at my you know, bad spell continues, I'm maybe not going to get the move that I want up the pyramid. Because something don't seem right at the minute. He seems agitated. I'm not so sure the players seem overly happy right now. So I'm just playing devil's advocate here, by the way. I'm asking you what you think.
I, can see why you're saying that, on Wellens. Number one. So I've got it as a slight concern, yes. I think the... no wins in seven?
Yeah.
So it's his worst period at Orient.
Yeah.
But the but is this. He clearly has had a very, very good relationship with the board, with Ling, with everybody. So am I concerned that, he's going to be perhaps looking at the situation in his own light? Well, he should be, because that's how you get on in life, I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to take a selfish view of things. So that's why I think he is pushing for more, because he doesn't want failure on his CV. None of us do.
Yeah, I think he should be pushing for more, Darren. My point was that I know it's the heated moment when you're just after the match and things can be said in the heat of the moment, but that's the sort of thing I think he should have...
Okay, so let me quote you an example of the reason he's like that. So Nigel's style of management is to say to his staff he likes pushback.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, for me, there's a bit of pushback going on there. Yeah.
Now, what you wish for,
now,
Nigel.
Now, I don't know Nigel well enough to know whether he likes pushback in private or he likes it public. I'm using Nigel's words. Yeah, okay. That's the language he uses.
Do you mean feedback?
No. It's all about management being able to accept that they sometimes need to hear unpalatable truths from staff. Yeah, and that's actually how good businesses should be run, because the shop floor is often more in the know of what's going on than the hierarchy. So yeah. I try to adopt it myself.
Yeah, but it's a point where that's fine in principle, as long as somebody doesn't overstep that mark and just make it too critical, because then...
But that's the interesting thing. With that style of management, there's always going to be one or two people that you can perceive as overstepping the mark. So I don't know the culture that, as I say, that well, Andy, but I'm cutting Richie some slack saying that that is the culture.
Yeah, well, I say we're all Wellens fans. It's just, on that interview, I think he was pushing it. But that's a great discussion, because it's all about opinions. And I'll tell you what opinion we're going to hear now. Dave Victor's.
On a night when nothing appeared to go right for Richie Wellens' side, they dug deep, demonstrated character and resolve to secure a precious point. There was more incident in the additional minutes at the end of each half than the rest of what was an untidy affair. Again, the O's conceding just before the break, having failed to deal with the initial danger presented from a set piece. Again, Leighton Orient struggled to present any sort of threat from corners, 10 forced at the Memorial Ground. And once again, injuries and illness limited and frustrated Richie Wellens' plans. Galbraith and Moncur unable to be in the squad. James and Drynan exiting in the first half. Leighton Orient appeared to be better balanced, having returned to the flat back four, getting more possession. Theo Archibald working so hard down the left. And when Dan Ajayi came on for the final 10 minutes, Leighton Orient were able to pin back the home side as they desperately tried to cling on to a slender advantage against the O's, who were finally creating openings down both flanks. There were also positives to take from Saturday's draw against an impressive Wigan team. The return of Jordan Brown and Theo Archibald had a huge impact on the performance. Shaq Ford given the opportunity to start, and the Watford loanee took his goal so well. Had Ford accepted the chance presented to him just a minute later, it would have been a very different game. For weeks, the faithful have been asking for a much-needed addition to the O's attack, and the appearance of Dan Ajayi for the final 10 minutes was a welcome surprise. The powerful striker sustained that serious toe injury pre-season at Colchester, and he could yet have a massive impact on this campaign. Crewe's former top goalscorer will feel like a new arrival. And we're up for the cup on Sunday. It's going to be a tough task to progress, to savour the excitement and expectation that comes only with that third round draw. Under Paul Cooper and assistant Danny Webb, Chesterfield have established a commanding lead at the top of the National League. Portsmouth unbeaten and fielded a very strong side when they travelled to North Derbyshire, but they were knocked out at the first round, and the O's will need to be at their best if they're to achieve the glory and much needed additional income that a run in the cup can provide.
Thanks very much, Dave, as usual, for another Victor's View. And he's touching on the cup, and we'll be touching on the cup too. Unfortunately, we were hoping to have a chat with Danny Webb, but I spoke to Dan, and Chesterfield felt that they'd rather wait till after the fixture. So hopefully we'll speak to Dan in a few weeks' time. And anyway, Chesterfield coming up, Barry, and it's...
Yeah, we haven't touched on last night yet, have we? We discussed last night.
Not on the game, Andy, no. We haven't really discussed the game in any detail.
Well, you can do.
Yeah.
You can do. You've got about 2 minutes.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that, you know, obviously, and I just want some balance about we've conceded 3 times in over 45 minutes the last few times.
Yeah.
Just for some balance, we have actually got 2 points after 90 minutes this season as well. So it could be much worse.
Yeah,
I mean, the last minute goal with Ford and the last minute goal last night.
Stat.
I mean, basically, we just touched on last night for a minute or so. They kept going. I think that's the
Well, it was
the
all our second half, and I thought a draw was a fair result. And, you know, 90 minutes, 6 over, and you're 1-0 down. 1-1 was a great result, and we nearly blew it at the end. And Jordan Brown, that's very unlike him. But I'm so glad, because I think we would all been absolutely horrified if that one had gone in.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you twist it to the positive is they didn't give up and they just kept plugging away, and in the end you got something, and as you say, probably a fair result. And
yeah, it's a side above us. They're 11th. They've been decent form. There was a decent form. I can't remember their form, but we very good at home, and we outplayed them in the second half totally. So I'm trying to look at the positives there.
Okay.
We want to talk about Chesterfield, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, no, because Tommy's just beaten us, that's why.
Yeah, Chesterfield are obviously a tough test because they're flying top of the National League. We know how it was when we were flying top of the National League. We'd have fancied ourselves against
I watched them against Southend on the box the other night.
And they lost.
Yeah, they were rank.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there we go.
Don't mince your words.
There's balance again. But, you know, I think we should have enough to win. And the third round, obviously, is the golden tick, can be the golden ticket. So I'm sure that we'll want to get through. I see us having a sort of 65-70% chance of winning the game, but Chesterfield will be up for it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, golden ticket, it might have been 20 or 30 years ago, but, you know, because you get an away game against the Premier League side and find there's 10,000 in the ground.
And they put their C team out, not even their B team anymore,
Yeah, so
it's still a money spinner for the clubs, and it's still some revenue, and there's still some something to look forward to.
Absolutely, absolutely. And how do you think it's going to pan out? What's your prediction?
I'd say we'll nick it 1-0.
You think we're going to nick it 1-0? Christian, and are you going up to the game, or are you
no, I'm
watching?
Not watching. My boy is they're home to West Ham on Sunday, so a bit of a family rivalry. But no, I think we'll win. I think we'll win 2-1. Hopefully we'll get a nice draw. On the FA Cup, the youth team actually won last night as well. So
that's a good result against Tringwell. Well done to them.
So yeah,
Newcastle away, is it?
Yeah. So I wouldn't mind that. Favourite city in the UK, actually, Newcastle. So we'll have a double trip to Newcastle.
Oh, well done to them. That's a great draw as well, isn't it?
Brilliant.
I just wish they hadn't played it on the Tuesday night, because I'd have gone along last night if it weren't for the fact that I was watching the first team in Bristol.
Yeah, I mean, we went a few years back, we played at Aston Villa in the Youth Cup and won, and then we got the next game, we lost by the odd goal to Chelsea.
I was also there at the Millennium Stadium when they won silverware for the first time in a very long time.
Yeah,
so
under Martin Ling.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go. Right, well, thank you guys for coming in, and thanks everybody. Have a great weekend. Let's hope we can get into the third round draw, and we'll leave you with the man sitting opposite me with his guitar. Barry Galvin.
We're not a city, we're not a town. We're the only one of us around. And you know where we can be found. But sadly, come again. We'll be trying to do our best to cheer all those on who wear the vest. Whatever challenge, whatever test. We're laying on you from 10. We're laying on you from 10. This is our club. We are proud. So sing it up and sing aloud. We were formed in 1881. The Claps and Orient had so begun. The old story on it runs. We're late and Orient from E10. Every challenge has come our way. The Orient faithful are here to stay. We can look to find another day. We're late and Orient from E10. Late and Orient from E10. Yeah. We can look to find another day. We're late and Orient from E10. Late and Orient from E10. This is our club. We are proud. So sing it up and sing it loud. We're not a city, we're not a town, we're the only one of us around.
On the hour, across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM. News.